You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We all know we're supposed to get enough sleep, and sleep is vital to our physical and mental health. But let's be honest, how many people actually get enough sleep? And how can you tell if you're truly sleeping well? A lack of sleep not only affects our health, it can actually affect our work productivity as well as our safety and the safety of others. Joining me to talk more about the benefits of good sleep is Dr. Bill Thompson. He's an associate professor in the Division of Pulmonary and Critical Care Medicine at the University of Washington, and he is also the medical co-director of the St. Luke Sleep Institute. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Okay, like I said, we all know we're supposed to get enough sleep. But as a society, are we getting enough sleep?
No, in general, we're not. You know, that's the most common cause for feeling sleepy during the day in our society. We're a busy society, and, and generally, we're not getting enough sleep.
So for adults, how much sleep should we really be getting each night?
Yeah, so for young adults and teens, it should be in the realm of 8 to 10 hours a night. As we get older, that requirement goes down a little bit to 7 to 8 hours, knowing, though, that there's a large span of normal. So some people will require 10 hours of sleep. And if they feel good getting 10 hours of sleep and they're concerned about that, I ask them, get 10 hours of sleep.
But someone else could get 7 hours and feel great.
They can. Yeah.
So it really depends upon your own body and knowing your body.
Yeah.
And then what about this idea of like shift work and all of that? Because and I ask that from just a personal standpoint, because for years I worked on a morning program. And so I was up at 2 a.m. I could get 8 hours of sleep every night. I was exhausted.
Yeah. So we all have an internal clock that helps us get to sleep at the appropriate time and wake up. It's called our circadian clock. And having a very regular sleep schedule is crucial to keeping that circadian clock on time. So if you are varying your sleep schedule very much over the week, that circadian clock isn't going to be entrained, and it's going to have more difficulty helping you get to sleep and helping you wake up.
So shift workers should try on their days off to try to stay that as much as possible.
Yeah, as much as they can to keep to the same sleep schedule.
Well, I did not, because I did not wake up at 2 a.m. on Saturdays. Talk about the most common sleep problems, because we hear a lot about things like sleep apnea, things like that.
Yeah, so probably the most common sleep disorder that I see people for is sleep apnea. And that's a condition where people will close off the back of their throat when they sleep, which results in disruption in their sleep. They have to wake up to a lighter stage of sleep to get that next breath.
And you may not even know that you have sleep apnea, right?
Yeah, so, you know, the classic patient is very overweight and snores a lot and will have witnessed pauses in their breathing. But there are people who don't fit that classic story. Mm-hmm. And so we take a look at a number of things, including the bed partner's observations and whether or not you snore. But that there are people who don't necessarily fit that mold that do have sleep apnea.
So when should you get checked for sleep apnea? I mean, are you just feeling tired all the time? Yeah. Is that a good reason?
Yeah, so we put together a number of symptoms that we look at. So those things include daytime sleepiness, witnessed snoring, witnessed pauses in the breathing by the bed partner, and then other things. Men are twice as common, will have sleep apnea twice as
often as women.
Often as
do.
Women, yeah. And as we get older, it's more common. Mm-hmm. So people over the age of 50 are more likely to have it than those under the age of 50. BMI plays a big part of it. So BMI greater than 35, so being overweight plays a big part of it as well.
And if it is untreated, I mean, people can actually have some really devastating health effects.
Yeah, so it's estimated that about 1 in 15 people will have moderate or severe sleep apnea. And we know from several studies out there that untreated sleep apnea is associated with several medical conditions, including high blood pressure, increased risk for heart attack, increased for heart rhythm problems, and increased risk for stroke. Not only that, we know that untreated sleep apnea drivers are more likely to have a motor vehicle accident.
So sleep apnea is the most common type. What about things like insomnia? Because we hear a lot about that as well.
Yeah, so insomnia is common. It's estimated that approximately 10% of men and 20% of women will have chronic insomnia. So insomnia that's gone on for greater than 3 months. So that is a very common problem. Often people don't seek medical attention for that.
So what defines insomnia? Because all of us have, every once in a while, you'll have a sleepless night, right? You just don't sleep well some night.
Yeah. So as you said, we all on some nights have problems sleeping. And we don't consider a chronic insomnia until it's been a recurrent problem for most nights for at least 3 months.
Most nights for almost 3 months?
Right.
Holy cow. How do you function?
Yeah, so that's why people come in.
Okay. And then what can you do then for this?
Yes, so the first thing that we would do would be to take a look at medical conditions that might be causing the insomnia, thyroid trouble. Probably the more common problem, though, is depression. It's estimated that approximately 40% of people presenting to a sleep clinic for help will have some form of depression.
And anxiety potentially would play into that?
Certainly anxiety, would potentially.
Do you see sleep issues in kiddos? Is that more common than we would think?
Yeah, so sleep problems in kids certainly is common. We see kids with sleep apnea. We see kids with the sleep what might be considered insomnia, but basically behavioral issues and trying to get to sleep at a decent hour each night.
So a child can get sleep apnea as well. So
certainly,
we should be looking at, being aware of that as parents.
Yes. There are some kids who it might present as hyperactivity, who in reality just aren't getting adequate sleep because of sleep apnea. So that would be one potential clue that we should look for sleep apnea.
So how do we know if we're getting good sleep? Not just the amount of hours, but how do you know if it's the kind of sleep you should be getting?
Yeah, if you're getting adequate sleep, you'll feel rested when you get up. And if you're allowed to sleep as long as you need, then you should feel rested in the morning. Otherwise, it can be difficult to know. So it would be, how do you feel after your night of sleep, assuming that you got enough sleep at night?
And then what about things like how long it takes you to fall asleep? Does that play into, the type of sleep? Or if you're not waking, some people wake up and then they can't get back to sleep, things like that.
Right. And so that anxiety and stress in your life can certainly play a role there. So that's one of the things that we often will look at, making sure that people know how to unwind and get away from the stress when they're trying to get to sleep at night.
And not to make light of this, because sleep is critically important, because there is not just a physical and mental effect of getting enough sleep. It is safety.
Right. And again, there's good studies out there that demonstrate that workplace mistakes or accidents are more common in people who don't get enough sleep.
Drowsy drivers.
Correct.
We see more of that.
Right. That's not only in the workplace, but, driving to and from work.
So at bottom line, is it just maybe being a little bit more mindful about maybe bedtime and getting that rest, and you don't have anything to prove, right?
Right. So again, we're all very busy. It's easy to say I can get by on a little less sleep so that I have time to do something else, but that will eventually catch up to you in the long run.
Well, I really appreciate the conversation. Thank you so much. My guest today, Dr. Bill Thompson, he is an associate professor in the Division of Pulmonary and Critical Care Medicine at the University of Washington. He is also the co-medical director of St. Luke's Sleep Institute. Thank you so much.
Thank you.